Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Plus on their feet. Nobody's left to beat the traffic tonight, I guarantee you. Mark gets the sign. The wind and the pitch. Here it is. Swung. Fly ball deep left center. Grissom on the run. Yes! The Atlanta Braves have given you a championship. Listen to this crowd.
Ah, the great Skip Carey, part of that great Carey broadcasting family. We'll always remember Skip very fondly in town. 1995, hard to believe, 25 years ago. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And the Morning Show, Hugh, you were playing in the NFL down about that time. And of course,
yeah, I was in New York. I was with the Jets at the time when that happened.
You know, some of the great battles the Braves were having with the Mets and the Yankees, for that matter, the next year in the World Series. Fox Sports is doing something kind of fun this week. They're rerunning the I can't believe it's 25 years, 25th anniversary of the Braves beating the Cleveland Indians in six games in the World Series to claim the World Series championship. It was a great World Series in 95. One of the members of the 95 team was Brad Klontz, of course, a submariner out of the bullpen. And we Braves fans remember him fondly, and he's been kind enough to jump into the program today on the WaveForward.com hotline, and we're thrilled to have him. Hey, Brad.
Hey, guys. How are you doing this morning?
Pretty good, pretty good. So how are you holding up in this pandemic right now?
Oh, just like everybody else, patiently awaiting.
Yeah, no question about that. So, Brad, being with that team at... Oh, dude.
You?
I lost him. I didn't hear his question.
Hey, Brad. Sorry about that. I think we may have lost you here. Let's talk a little bit about that team. I just kind of continue the thought. Just go back to take us back. I can't believe, first off, 25 years. And secondly, take us back to 1995 and what the feeling was like on that team going into that World Series against the Indians.
You know, being a rookie, Chipper and some of the other guys like myself, they just had this confidence about the way they approached it. Each game, whether it's regular season game or playoff game, and the one thing that rookies were able to take out of that was all business. You could tell. I mean, I had watched the other games from instructional baseball after I got drafted in '92. So I was still in college in '91 when they lost to the Twins. So a couple of those playoffs, I was either home or playing with the Braves in instructional ball as a young guy, and so the excitement was already there. It was in our blood because it was part of the organization, but to go through the grind and to understand what it takes to play 162 games, plus all the games in spring training, and keep it together and be focused on one thing only, and that was to win at World Championships. But, you know, those guys had been there. They knew what it took to get it done, and thank goodness I was a part of it. I mean, it was just a lifelong dream for me, and to be able to experience something like that is a memory that lasts forever.
Okay, Brad, I'm back now. I had a little bit of technical difficulty there. Yeah, but the question I wanted to ask you, when did you know that you were a part of something that could potentially be real special?
It's just kind of like I was explaining now. As soon as I stepped into a major league clubhouse in 95, so I got added to the 40-man roster after the Arizona Fall League that fall. Of course, they were on strike, if you remember. So being a kid that's living their dream come true and knowing that it was kind of my spot to take one of the two spots in the bullpen. Pedro Bourbon took the other one. And to have to wait till April, I think it was first week in April, before we even went to spring training. And to be able to sit back and take it in from the guys at the club, Dave Justice and Fred McGriff used to pull me aside all the time. So they were so professional. There's nothing they haven't experienced. So that I even talked about game situations, life experiences. So it just made us young guys feel comfortable to be around guys that had already been there and done it. Those guys were on a mission. There was no doubt about it. The way Maddox and Glavin and Smoltz and those guys pitched all year, Avery, Merker, you know, it just felt like we were going to do it, whether I believed it or not. Those guys did, so we just rode their coattails.
Brad Klotz, of course, a member of the Braves in 1995, came in with another rookie. What was the other rookie's name that year that made a splash?
They say Pedro Pabon was a rookie. J.C. Smith was, if you guys remember, I saw him on the bench last night, kept seeing him over and over. He must have been the other guy that was dressing and traveling. Brad Woodall, remember we broke the season?
Oh, yeah, Brad Woodall, right.
Yeah, we broke the season with him on the roster. I'm probably missing a couple guys, but we had the expanded roster because of the strike. I think we took like three extra pitchers, a couple extra position players.
Yeah, and of course, you know, you had to know, I think, that you were playing with special players, Brad, but did you realize that, you know, I think it should be seven because I think McGriff ought to be in. But at the time, were you looking at going, man of mercy, of course, you couldn't have known about Chipper, but that you were working with and around in the front office, in your dugout, and in your lineup, and in your pitching staff, six Hall of Famers.
You know, if you'd have said six Hall of Famers, I mean, I probably could have started to go, okay, he's probably going to be one. To say six would end up being there, and I'm like you, Fred McGriff is a Hall of Famer. If you're gonna cut him short because of he's got 493 and not 500, that's ridiculous. Anybody that played against these guys know he's a Hall of Famer. Hopefully he gets in, but you know we knew the talent was there. Even guys like Javi Lopez, I mean, that guy's a feared bat in lineup. We saw what he did in the ALCS. I was watching the home run he hit last night, the pickoff play. Man, you don't even count that guy. Klesko, look, I mean, three home runs. I think he hits a home run the next three games starting tonight. You know, I remember things like that. But Chipper, we knew he was going to be great. So, I mean, you kind of put him in. It was just amazing to be surrounded by that much talent. But it was even more special how they went about their business. I can't tell you. It was like a brotherhood. It was like a family. I went to other organizations, and it's the only team I've ever been with that if we were on the road and one person said go to dinner, there would be 18 people go to dinner. It was a family meal every road trip. And I never went to another team that did that.
Sports Radio 92.9 again. We're talking to Brad Klotz, former Atlanta Braves reliever. Okay, on the WayForward.com hotline on Sports Radio 92.9 again. So, Brad, if you were getting ready for today's game and, you know, with everything that's going on with the pandemic and everything, how would you be keeping yourself in shape right about now?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I don't guess we could be running. We can't run poles like we do on the field, so I guess I'd be running up down Roswell Road since I live in Buckhead. but you know, you'd have to find your own way. These guys have all kinds of workout regimens now. They're more in tune to working out than we used to. I'll tell you that. I know they got the nutrition and the personal chefs in the locker room, so it's a whole different day game today. But we'd find a way.
You know, we're talking about, go back to that 95 season, and one of the things that really took the Braves over the top, you know, you had to go through the struggles early on, Brad, before you got with the team with John Smoltz and Tom Glavine, and they've talked at length about having to take their lumps as rookies. When the team got the Greg Maddux to come in, and I did look, and I want to say this, Brad, in all seriousness, I take nothing. John Smoltz could have made the Hall of Fame as a starter or as a reliever. Tom Glavine, from what I understand, could have made the NHL Hall of Fame. He was that great an athlete and a tremendous tremendous pitcher, and I love both of them, but there was something just kind of freaky deaky about Maddux. I mean, we were captivated, you know, as fans in a way whenever he would start, because we literally thought every time he would start, he would throw a 55, you know, pitch, 27 strikeout, no hitter.
And didn't he almost every time? Those were the great days, because we as relievers, you know, I warmed up so many times in games that I pitched a lot. Led the league 1 year. So, I mean, Maddox pitching, I literally thought to myself every day, maybe I'll get a day off to where I don't even have to get up and throw, give my arm a break. He was that good. And honestly, to get out of that ballpark in 2 hours, 2.5 hours, you couldn't beat it. Because those games, you know, as you guys as fans know, drag out 3 hours, three plus. That's a long day, and if you do it every day, it gets a little bit old. It's, you know, don't get me wrong, it's still the major leagues, it's fun, and it's a childhood dream, and we love it. But them short games, boy, I tell you what, if you had those every day, life would be a whole lot easier.
Talking with Brad Klotz about Fox Sports South rerunning the 95 World Series. It will conclude on May 2nd with Game 6. And if you weren't around or weren't a part of the Braves family back in that time, to be able to sit down and watch the entirety of it and watch this team win the World Series, a little bit of history and a lot of fun, too, in this time where we haven't started baseball. Brad, let's talk. You're in Atlanta. Let's talk a little bit about the team right now. Tell me about what you see out of Mike Soroka and the young pitchers on this staff. Is it your opinion that Sean Newcomb is a guy that could possibly break back into the rotation here? How do you look at the current crop of young Braves pitchers in Atlanta?
Yeah, they kind of remind I was saying it last year. They kind of remind me of us in the early '90s, and by the time I got there in the mid '90s, with the young pitcher staff. I mean, and those guys are bulldogs, man. You see it in their face. One thing I look at when I look at a young pitcher is their emotions. Do they look like they're in control of their breathing? You can ask it. It's to give you a little tip. If you see somebody spit and it kind of floats away, they're extremely nervous. I remember Donovan Osborne in 96 pitching against Game 7 when we came back from a 3-1 deficit, and we won at home, and we scored, what, like 9 or 10 runs in the first inning, and the game was over. I remember watching him spit, and it just kind of floated in the air. I said, oh, we got him. And so that's a little trick. I look at young pitchers. It's very difficult sometimes to control your emotions on the mound. Starters, I know it's a little different because they got time to work into the game. But all these guys, they just look like they're calm, in control of their breathing. They don't look fidgety on the mound. Newcomb is electric guy. I don't know. I mean, I would hope to see him back in the in a rotation because, I mean, he's a lefty. He's dominant. But Soroka, I mean, it's just the age he's doing it at, making it look so easy that – but that just goes to show you, when you got movement and when you got power stuff, I mean, it's tough to hit anybody like that. Those guys are good. They're going to be good for a long time. You know, Freddie Freeman has taken over what Chipper used to do, and it feels like it's that time again. It reminds me of us, and I can't wait to watch them and get them back on the field.
So with this young Braves team now, who would you say is your favorite player that's on there now?
You know, Freddie's my guy because when Chipper was in, and I was, you know, hanging out with Chipper his last couple of years, you know, at Pet Stadium, after dinner, during the off season, last couple off seasons, playing some golf, and he's always been my boy. But Freddie, he kind of taken Freddie under his wing, so to be around Freddie as much as I was earlier, when in his career, I got to know the kid a lot, and such a good leader he is. I'm glad he's doing. Showing the player that he is. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame type of player if he continues on the pace he is as well. But all those guys, man, they're so fun to watch. I don't get to get around them as much as Andrew and Chipper and some of these guys, but just looking from afar, you know, Freddie's still my guy.
All right, so if you have to pitch in a clutch situation, you're on another team because you play for other teams, Brad Klotz, you're in a two-out situation to win the game, closing it out here. Do you want to face Freddie? Do you want to face Acuna?
Now Acuna, he's the best player I've ever seen in a long time, maybe since Andrew. And but I do not want to face Freddie Freeman. Those lefties, you know, on those sidearm relievers. Ask Peter Moylan. Peter made a tweet the other day, and I thought it was hilarious. And I followed up with some comments on that. So, I would take Acuna over Freddie any day.
And that submarine thing, Darren O'Day. How do you come up with that? And secondly, is it a lost art?
I feel like it is. I don't see it as much, or maybe I'm not paying attention as much. But I did it as a high schooler. My best friend's dad had played baseball at Wake Forest. He basically taught us the game of baseball. And we were coming to Georgia Southern baseball camps under Jack Stallings, one of the greats. But I was a shortstop, and I really emulated Ozzie Smith. Everything from the hole, you know, I was side-arming. I could flip it from my knees, and it hit the first baseman in the chest every time. So even I was doing that in Little League, and my coach wouldn't allow me to throw breaking balls until I was like 13 or 14. So I felt like, man, I need another pitch. So I started throwing fastball, and I dropped down. I figured if I could hit the short, the first baseman in the chest from all the way across the diamond, I should use it as a pitch. And then I developed a overhand curveball, a sidearm slider, or frisbee, as we like to call it. And I could just recreate a lot more movement from there. And I threw just as hard, if not harder. So once I went to Virginia Tech, my coach, Coach Hartman there, got me to drop down and fall ball one inning my way. And the next inning, he wanted me to throw strictly sidearm, and I struck out the side on 9 pitches. So that was the history. I turned into a reliever. I started 2 years, and then I got drafted by the Braves as a sidearm reliever.
There you go. Brad Klein's in the backstory that you didn't know. Hey, Brad, do appreciate you taking a few minutes. Thanks much.
Yeah, and stay safe.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.
You too.
Brad Klontz. Yeah, those sidearmers. Yeah, if you're a right-hander and you've ever faced a sidearmer, you don't know. Man, you think that ball's going to hit you every single time they drop down and throw it at you. You're bailing out. And Brad was a proud member of that 95 Braves team. It is a morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game. We will talk a little bit more about this year's Braves team and talk with Joe Patrick about maybe this story that we chopped up this morning about the restart of Major League Baseball, the 100-game season and the divisions and all that, when Joe jumps into the program next after a CBS Sports Minute. Morning show with Sports Radio 90, John the Game, John and you from the Mobile Kia Studios all across Metro Atlanta. Talking with Joe Patrick, who's going to jump into the program, our Braves insider. He's on the WaitForIt.com hotline this morning. I catch up a little bit about what it was great talking to Brad Klontz, but we want to talk a little bit more about this year's team and what's going on in Major League Baseball with Joe. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. How's it going? How's it going this morning?
Pretty good. Pretty good. How you doing this morning?
Doing good, you know, just trying to fill my days. We've got some baseball podcasts up on the radio.com app, so I encourage everybody to go check those out. I've been doing those with our colleagues Willie P. and Caleb Johnson, just kind of talking some Braves, talking some Major League Baseball, trying to make sense of everything that's been going on lately.
You know what, speaking of that, you know, there's some thoughts of moving the Braves into the Central Division and losing all their NL East rivals. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty interesting. There was a report that came out last night from Bob Nightingale with USA Today talking about a new structure that is potentially in the works, where basically Major League Baseball would be broken down into three divisions. There would be no AL and NL for the 2020 season. It would just be three different divisions. And so the Braves, his projection was that the Braves would be lumped into the Central with, you know, obviously all the teams that we know from the NL Central, the AL Central. It's an interesting situation that the Braves are in, along with the Rays and the Marlins, just being in that southeast quadrant. There's not really an easy place to put those teams, and so he had the two Florida teams as being in the Eastern Division, the Braves being in the Central. Honestly, it's a better situation for the Braves from a competitive standpoint than some of the previous iterations of how the league would be formatted, where before there was a situation where it was Cactus League, Grapefruit League, and in that situation the Braves would have been in a really, really tough division with going up against the Yankees and Twins and Red Sox and a lot of difficult teams. So I think this one actually sets up better for the Braves competitively, but we'll see how it all shakes out over these next few weeks.
And it's so interesting. I mean, that we've heard different models. The first time was kind of the quarantine model, Joe Patrick, where you were going to have, you know, Arizona, Texas, and Florida host games, and everybody's going to have to go there in quarantine. Now they're at least saying in this new model that Bob Nightingale and USA Today got a hold of is three 10-team divisions, but they're going to play games at your home stadium. So they would play games, you know, at Truist or, you know, at Citi Field, at Wrigley Field. They'd be at their home stadiums. Now, granted, they'd start off without fans. Somewhere around the weekend of the 4th of July is when they're targeting. Now, whether this is the final plan, but this is certainly far more preferable to me, and I know that a lot of fans, when they first saw it last night, especially on my Twitter, were not happy about the Braves being in the Central, and I was like, look, I don't care what division they're in, you know, as long as, look, the Braves played in the National League West for ever and ever and ever, right?
For sure. Let's see him play somebody, right? Like, who cares at this point, to be perfectly honest? That's how I feel about it. But, yeah, I mean, I think it will be interesting. The target date is for them to start sometime toward the end of June to July 2nd, I think, would be potentially the latest start date, which means that teams would probably start getting together to start training in the next 3 weeks or so to give them a nice month to ramp up for the season. And I think I'm with you. I think that this new to try to plan a course where teams are playing in their own stadiums just makes so much more logistical sense than trying to do some kind of quarantine plot. And I don't think that that is necessarily, it is going to be necessary the way we're moving along. I think it's really interesting to just, it's obviously a very difficult situation that this country is going through right now and that a lot of us individually are going through. I'm sure we're all affected by, you know, most of us know somebody who's had the disease and has been affected. But if you try to just get out of that mindset for a second and think back to where we were a month ago and where we are now, it is night and day in terms of the progress that's been made on all kinds of fronts, in terms of businesses being set up to operate in a different kind of way, treatments that are on the way, testing is ramping up, which is obviously a huge part of this. And so you have to be able to like look out and project where we're going to be a month from now when teams are starting to train together. You know, how much more advanced will we be at that point? The likelihood is that we will be in a much better situation then than we are today and going forth. Now, could something come back? Will they need to be prepared for the fall when potentially the virus could, you know, come back with some numbers when the weather gets a little cooler, if that's something that brings it back? That is something that people are projecting, and they will need to be prepared for that. But right now, everything is heading in a very positive direction, and I think that it gives a lot of optimism for Major League Baseball to potentially get this thing going again, and I'm certainly optimistic that we will get baseball this year.
We're talking to Joe Patrick, 99 The Game, Braves insider, on the WaveFor.com hotline on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Now, the DH has been a lot of talk about that and how that's going to work out. Do you think it's just a matter of time before we get the designated hitter in both leagues?
I do, and I think that this season is going to be, I think, kind of pivotal in that, because the way that this is going to break down, since now you're lumping AL and NL together, all these teams will be playing with a DH this season. And I think that that will be a catalyst for the DH remaining in the National League 4 years to come. Will it happen by 2021? That is to be determined. But I think it's just one of those things where once that bug is kind of implanted in these National League teams, I think it's going to be very hard for that to turn around, considering kind of the swell, the momentum that's already been building there for some time now. And I think that beyond the DH, I think you look to other things that could be implemented this year that could be around to stay. Obviously, there's been some talk about could the automated home plate umpires, the at least calling balls and strikes, be implemented to kind of keep some distance between the umpire and the catcher and batter. And if that is implemented, could that be something that is around to stay? I think you're likely to see a lot of experimentation from Major League Baseball during this season, because this season is already tainted in as much as that, like, this season is not going to be looked at by fans the same way that other seasons will be looked at, for obvious reasons, right? So if you have this season already in place, why not take the opportunity to kind of do some things that you've been experimenting with, that you've been toying with, that you haven't wanted to kind of disrupt the tradition that is Major League Baseball and all the things that it's been doing for so long? Now's the perfect time to try to implement those things, and if the implementation goes well, then I think you're likely to see them stick around for a long time.
Yeah, the Astros can win the World Series and have two asterisks, so there you go. Joe, one real quick question. If they start training in late May, is there any reason to go back to Arizona and Florida? Couldn't they just train at Truist Park and in their own home stadiums?
You would think they would be able to, because I doubt that teams would be kind of going to their spring training stadiums and then, you know, going to each other's stadiums and kind of, you know, becoming integrated between each other in that way. I think that you're most likely, I think it seems to me the most realistic situation is to just train at your home ballpark. If you want to play against Georgia Tech or, you know, some college teams to get some people in to play against, or you just bring in some of your minor league players, you know, you can do that. But I'm with you. I think it makes a whole lot more sense to just stick at your place, stick at your home ballpark, not your spring training facility, and just get ready for, you know, spend the month there, get ready for the season to get started.
Joe Patrick is our Braves insider on the WaveFor.com hotline. And yeah, I know, and a lot of people are saying that this might be just Major League Baseball. We might not get Minor League Baseball. Gwinnett, Rome might not have seasons this year. And if that's the case, then Major League Baseball probably will go to a 40-man roster for the entirety of the season. And if they do that, then, yeah, you could just play inter-squad games, I mean, if you wanted to.
Yep, for sure. And it will. I think it sets up very well for the Braves if they do allow the 40-man squads to be used, because we all know the talent that the Braves have a little deeper down on that roster. And I think that for fans, it'll be great because you'll be able to see some of these players that are on the 40-man that we've been waiting to see, like a Christian Pache, potentially.
Joe, it's always a pleasure talking to you. We'll keep our eyes on any breaking news. You know where we're at, so you can find us. Give us a shout if you hear anything more.
Yeah, and have a wonderful day, and stay safe as always.
Yep, you guys do as well.
Joe Patrick, our Braves insider on 92.9 The Game. As we look ahead to the potential of a start of the baseball season, at the moment, the working model says somewhere around the weekend of the 4th of July. We'll see if that kind of holds, and hopefully it does, and maybe we'll get some baseball to watch this year. That'd be a lot of fun. It'd be pretty cool on the 4th of July to have Major League Baseball. Yeah. Andy and Randy coming up top of the hour on this Wednesday hump day on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And, of course, streaming worldwide at radio.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.